Good afternoon. This is Philip Best speaking. I'm sitting here with Mark St. John Webb.
Good afternoon.
At Quero in Geneva. And welcome to the first of what we hope will be a long series of 6 monthly updates. We thought it'd be a good idea to have the discipline of giving feedback to investors once every 6 months on how the small cap funds are doing and what we think the outlook is. So welcome to this call, and we're going to give a little talk for the first 15 minutes or so, and then leave the opportunity for questions afterwards. There is a set of graphs, which we may refer to a bit, available on the website. It's under the news section, or actualité in French, and you should be able to find it. Just a small pack of graphs, but there are some interesting ones in there. You know, I have to say from the start, it's been a tough quarter, and actually it's been quite a tough period year to date. One of the problems that one has when you have a very defined style in fund management is that from time to time your style doesn't work. This is a little bit what we've had this year. As you know, we're very much a value house. We're very much value managers, and value has been very much out of fashion. So as you will have seen from the monthly performance updates that were published earlier this week, we had a period when both the Argos Argonaut Fund and the Quero Argonaut Fund and the Quero Smaller European Companies Fund both slightly underperformed the index, were up slightly in the case of Argonaut, slightly more in the case of QSEC. This is uncomfortable. Nobody likes to underperform, but on the other hand, we did have a fantastic year last year, so we don't feel too bad about it. And actually, over 18 months, the funds still look very good. I would say that there were a number of factors at play, to be honest. I made reference to the fact that growth has substantially outperformed value as an investment style. I mean, you only really need to look at what's been going on in the U.S. to see how much that's the case. Just as an indication on the S&P 500 so far this year, Amazon alone accounts for 36% of the rise of the S&P. If you take Amazon, Microsoft, Netflix, and Apple together, together those four stocks account for 86% of the rise in the S&P 500, which is just extraordinary. So it's been a very, very narrow market. The same has been true in Europe, of course, to a lesser extent, because we don't have the same FANG-like stocks. But value as a whole has underperformed. Value as a whole, based on the MSCI value style index, is down 4.5% against growth down 0.5%. If you take an index calculated by the brokerage house Kepler-Cheuvreux, where they break it down as the difference between small cap and large cap of value and growth stocks, they've got small cap value down 4.5% year to date and small cap growth up 3.7%. So there's a big, big divergence between the two. It has definitely been a trend that has worked against us. The other thing, interestingly, so far this year is that small cap has frequently underperformed large cap. And just taking France as an example, the CAC small index, which counts 90 stocks in France, is down 4.4%, and the CAC 40 is up 1.2%. So the second rather strong headwind we've had is that small cap has been underperforming large cap. And then there was also the fact that certain sectors have really driven the market. I've mentioned tech stocks already. But the single greatest advance within Europe has been the oil and energy sector, which is up 11%. And as you will know from when we've spoken to you in the past, these are not sectors in which we invest simply because you don't try and find many small cap stocks in that sector, or at least not ones that are not highly speculative. So the, for example, the oil exploration sector is not a sector in which we invest. And that has equally meant that we've been slightly disadvantaged by that. So, I mentioned at the start, we are a very much defined by our style here. Mark and I are, you could say, die-hard value investors. We believe in buying things that look cheap on their intrinsic value and which we think have a limited downside, the famous margin of safety. We're always trying to think about the downside when we're buying stocks. And it really, you know, it would go against the grain to do anything else for us. So, you know, we've known periods when value has underperformed in the past. I, for one, can certainly remember exactly the feeling we're having now in 1999, I can remember how that ended as well. So, we're not about to change our investment style. We are value-driven. We do believe in investing at the smaller end of small cap. That's very much our positioning, so we're not going to suddenly switch to going up the market cap scale. And we make a pretty contrarian approach as well. So that's the kind of the broad brush on what's been going on the past 6 months and why it's been rather disappointing. But there has, of course, been, in the actual question of stock by stock and individual stock performance, there were some outliers, and I'm afraid, as always, one makes mistakes. We do and have in the past. We just hope not to make too many. In particular, have been a few stocks in the Quero Smaller European Companies Fund, which have been quite problematic. And I think we thought it might be useful to you to know what those stocks were and what we've heard about them subsequently, because one of the things that we've been trying to do in the past few weeks has been to have regular, even more regular contacts with the stocks in our portfolio. As you know, we depend a lot on the dialogue of keeping in contact and keeping up to date and getting regular updates from the companies where we're invested. And so in the past 10 days, we've basically run around them all the important ones. So we thought we'd give you a little bit of an update on the situation. So I'm going to pass over to Mark, who's going to take us through some of the more stock-specific elements.
Yeah, good afternoon. So if we add our small cap and value philosophy to the family-owned filter that we have in smaller European companies, it means that we are typically invested in the, you've got to imagine the Deutsche Mittelstand companies, the family-owned companies that are manufacturers, exporters. They export to the rest of Europe. They export to the whole world. So these companies are structurally more sensitive to the economic environment, and therefore our fund is structurally more sensitive to the economic environment, as we've explained in the past. And, of course, the numerous discussions or tweets we've heard about the trade wars have impacted particularly those stocks, a lot of them in Germany. A good illustration of this, and we have, for those of you who do have access to the internet site, there are two brief pages on Wackerneusen and PZ Kussens. But as an illustration, in the smaller European companies, one of the biggest detractors of performance, which took off 150 basis points, was Wackerneuson. Wackerneuson makes construction equipment for the road building sector, particularly in renovation in cities. And if anything, we would have imagined that Wackerneuson would be a good performer in 2018 in a strong European economy, as road building, as we can see, is picking back up. The road builders have got more work to do. Their machines are getting used. They've got an aging fleet. And clearly for us, the outlook was strong for Wackerneuson. But Wackerneuson ended up publishing figures for the first quarter a couple of months ago where sales were up only 9%. The strength of the euro in the first quarter meant that on a constant exchange rate, sales were actually up 14%. So business was up 14%. But the market considered that to be a disappointment. And secondly, the market also focused on the fact that Wackerneuson is one of the companies suffering from the shortage of components to complete its machines. So the share has sold down 26%, which was quite a surprise for us. We had a long discussion on last week with Wilfried Trepels, the CFO of the company. And it was a completely different story we heard from him. Yes, there was slightly softer sales in the first quarter and the second quarter, which will be published soon, but that is not due to end demand. End demand remains very strong for the construction equipment, but they're lacking in components. And this is something that we're hearing from quite a lot of companies at the moment, the lack of components. It seems that there's not been a capex boom over the last number of years of all down the supply chain, which means that when you've got strong growth in your end market, you end up with construction machines without wing mirrors. It can be actually as basic as that. It happens that this is a problem that affects all the players in the sector. So Wackerneuson's clients are not going elsewhere to buy the equipment, are waiting for Wackerneuson to be able to deliver this. So we will see, again, good figures for Q2, but maybe not as strong growth as one might have hoped for, considering the end of demand. But the good news is it's coming in the second half of the year. The clients of Wackerneuson are waiting for their equipment to be available. They have factories in Europe that traditionally close down for seasonal reasons in August. They're keeping them open this year. So Wackerneuson will be delivering in the end of the summer to those clients that have been waiting. So we can expect a very strong second half of the year, which means that the company were very confident when we spoke to them that they're holding up to their guidance for the full year. And in terms of the inflation in component prices, Wackerneuson have managed to pass on two price increases to their clients, one in January and another one by 2% on the 1st of July. So this will impact positively second half figures. So we find ourselves with a company, Wackerneuson, trading on a PE ratio of 13 times this year's earnings, with a strong growth worldwide. Based on them gaining market share, they have the widest range of products of any company in this business because they offer both light and compact equipment through the merger of the two family companies, Wacker and Neuson. There's new management who arrived at the company or actually have grown up from within the company for the CEO and has given an EBIT margin target for above 11%. The new CFO has given himself a target to reduce working capital requirements, so the balance sheet will get even stronger, and it's already strong at the moment. So we expect a good recovery, continued growth in profits this year and next year, and it's likely to be a little bit more second-half weighted. But this is a good illustration of what we may be hearing from other companies, is that The view of the management is more positive than the front page of the Financial Times. So another example of a stock that's fallen sharply is PZ Cussons, whose share price has fallen 30% this year. PZ Cussons makes soaps and personal care and household products from various factories around the world. We initially invested in the share last year after a visit to their factory in Manchester in the north of the UK. The share had fallen because their biggest market in the past was Nigeria, where they have a very strong position historically going back to the 19th century. And in fact, the share fell sharply in March with a new profit warning that they were not going to make 100 million pounds in operating profit, but it was more likely going to be between 80 and 85 million pounds. This is due to the fact that there was no recovery in Nigeria, that the UK High Street, in which they sell the Imperial Leather soap brand, was still very tough following Brexit. But our view on PZ Cussons is the share price is down 50% over the last 5 years. It used to be a darling of the market due to its exposure to emerging markets. It's also very strong in the very populous Indonesian market. And we expect, even if the Nigerian and UK markets are still bumping along the bottom, we expect profits to grow this year. This financial year ends in May 2019, and we see the profits of PZ's Cussons growing by 15-20% this year, and then accelerating growth over the next few years due to their emerging market exposure. In Nigeria, which used to represent over 50% of PZ's Cussons' profits, the falling consumer spending with the weak oil price a few years ago wiped out most of those profits. For the moment, the Nigerian government have been using the extra oil revenues to bolster their balance sheet and the central bank's balance sheet and the Nigerian naira. But we can't help feeling that at one stage the higher oil price now will eventually trickle down to consumer spending in Nigeria, and we will see Nigeria once again becoming a big source of profits for PZ Cussons. So it means that PZ Cussons is trading on 15 times this year's depressed earnings, and we see good potential for growth of PZ Cussons over the next few years. And this is typically what we like to do. Philip said, you know, we're value investors. What we're trying to do is accumulate a portfolio of good quality companies when they're being put on sale by the market. And this was typically the situation for PZ Cussons. We're contrarian. We will wait out whilst the company's bumping along the bottom and the company's self-help is improving profitabilities.
So that's just a quick word on two companies in the portfolio which have been hit very hard, but where we think there's significant bounce back potential, where we think the market is actually being pretty unfair. We could go on, but I'm conscious that time is passing. We can talk about more stocks later on. But just to say that generally speaking, the feedback that we've had from all the companies that we've been speaking to in the past 2 weeks has been pretty encouraging. There's no impact yet from the question of where things are heading in world trade and the potential of a trade war. But the managements that we've been speaking to recently have been pretty insistent that there's certainly no damage yet. Where we of course go from now is out of our control, and we hope very much that we won't see a full-blown trade war. Even if we went into that sort of scenario, I'd much rather own a value-based portfolio of companies that we think are cheap but solid. I would be disappointed if the portfolio didn't make back some ground in the second half of the year.
Yeah, and just as Philip was talking about solid, just a reminder in our portfolio companies, the level of gearing, because we look very closely at the balance sheet, is very low on our Our company's in Argonaut, it's barely 5% gearing, and on family enterprise, the gearing is 16%, so very low gearing. 2018 is looking like a good, strong year for all our portfolio companies. In fact, it's looking for the moment like a strong year for the European economy. The valuations in the portfolio look attractive at 1.6 times book value on average. If we look in terms of PE ratio, the PE ratio of the fund is 16.1 times 2018 estimated earnings, 13.4 times 2019 estimated earnings. So valuations are attractive, and we remind you that as we have some turnaround companies in the portfolio, that gives leverage for recovery and profits in the years after that. So considering that, the valuations do look low. In terms of the outlook, so you know we do see 2018 as being a strong year from what we hear from all the companies we're speaking to. We've been, of course, through two, three months ago the results of the first quarter. Growth is not linear. The first quarter did look a little bit light in Europe in terms of growth, and European companies suffered from the rising euro. If we look across the Atlantic, we saw American companies had very good figures for the first quarter because the first positive factors came in from the falling tax rate in the U.S., and U.S. companies benefited from the weak dollar. So in the second quarter, where we're getting into the publishing season next week, this is when we should start seeing the messages from European companies, and we... As you know, the euro has come down over the last 3 months, and we should see a more competitive environment that will improve the competitiveness and the margins of these European companies.